Please open your Bibles now to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Please keep your Bibles open tonight as we share this message conceived by the Holy Spirit. For some people today, and indeed for many centuries, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ has been a puzzle. I remember when I was going through college, and I had to read what one theologian said about the virgin birth. And after I had read a little, I closed up the book very quickly, because he didn't believe in the virgin birth. He tried to argue very dogmatically that Christ was only a phantom, that he was only spirit, and he had a few other things to say. And I needed 50.5 to pass the exam, and I got 50.5. Indeed, when I think about it, the cynics have always thought that the idea of a virgin birth was simply another attempt to explain an embarrassing pregnancy. However, there is a danger before us today that once upon a time would have never been considered. And I refer to this fact, that modern science has learned how to cause conception without ordinary sexual union. And this has caused some people to be very casual about the virgin birth. Now, I don't need to go into great depths about that. You see it on your television sets. You read it in your newspapers. You are all aware of some of the attempts today to cause conception without ordinary sexual union. And, of course, some of it is straight out adultery. I remember a young woman coming to me when I was on the road as an evangelist, and she wanted to become involved in artificial insemination. And I said, all right, honey, you might as well go out in the paddock and lie with Tom, Bill, Jack, and Harry. And she looked at me. She said, who's this character? And then she made my day by telling me that she didn't think I was a Baptist minister, because I wasn't talking to her about being a Baptist minister. I was talking to her about adultery. But you know, that lady was very gracious. She went away furious, but she came back 48 hours later. I didn't know that I'd looked so old, but she came bouncing into where I was staying, and she was only young, and she said, right, old man, let's hear it out. If it's adultery, on what grounds do you base it? Well, by the time I'd finished giving her my side of the story, she went away, and she said, I'll never have artificial insemination. Today, she's got a lovely little girl. You see, God is still the God of miracles. Without humanism, with all of its idolatry intervening. I want us to think about some of these things tonight. We are more aware today of what is involved in conception. We don't have to be concerned about talking about these things today from a Christian pulpit. They should have been talked about years ago. We wouldn't have had half the problems that we've got today had they been spoken about. You see, many people are accustomed to seeing pictures and diagrams of the reproductive system. And even though some people may still be embarrassed by it, Most of us above the age of 10 know what has happened if conception is to occur. In other words, most kids over the age of 10 know that a condom is not a balloon. And I think it's time Christianity grew up and faced reality. Well, I'm sure that we would all agree that it would be a serious loss to the Christian faith if Christ's virgin birth were to be less of a problem to us now that we know so much about human reproduction. So tonight, I would like to tell you about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And John in his gospel says the Word became flesh. Now it is the verb became that is very important. Because this verb became refers to the unique and holy conception and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now many of you who come Sunday by Sunday and have done for a long time, especially in the Elijah series, I've been teaching you that the Word is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get back to Elijah. I was working it out the other day with the visits of Reverend Norman Pell and the remainder of Elijah and then Galatians. It's going to be Christmas next year. But we've been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate existence. But now tonight we look at some great revelation that has come to us through the Holy Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh. But I wonder, have you ever noticed in verses 10 through to 13, have a look at them in your Bible, that John first of all talks about another form of supernatural birth. Let's have a look at it. Verses 10 through 13. What is he saying? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. Yes, beloved people, the supernatural birth of people who believe in Christ and became children of God is mentioned here in the first chapter of John's Gospel. And I'm sure that you would agree with me that it would be a serious error if we were to say that Christ's conception and birth, though unusual, were no more unusual than the conceptions and births nowadays through in vitro fertilization. Christ was not a frozen embryo. Let us establish that in our mind tonight. Christ was not a frozen embryo. All liberal theologians will get hold of that. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that Christ's unusual conception and birth differed in several ways from the unusual conceptions and births of today. When I did the 8 years of research into birth, pregnancy, birth, and the early years of children, there was nowhere in that research could I find comparisons that were unique to the birth of Christ. Well, let us now hear what the Bible is saying when it says that Christ's conception and birth were the bridge between divinity and humanity. I'm going to say a few things tonight, and it's not offensive, but it has to be said. When you and I were born, we became the bridge between a man and a woman. But when our blessed Redeemer, Christ the Son of God, was born, he became the bridge between divinity and humanity. When the Word became flesh, God became man. And would we not agree that there is always a mystery involved in conception and birth? Can you explain birth? Can you explain conception? I was witnessing to a very brilliant doctor a few years ago. His wife had become a Christian. And through miracles of miracles, this doctor had had a breakdown, a nervous breakdown. And he was brought up to Sydney, and I'd just moved from down the other side of Wollongong to Sydney. And he came and knocked on the door, and he said, "Look, I've got to go into hospital. I'd like my wife to stay with you." And I can remember this little woman. She wasn't as tall as my barrel. And she came in with a cigarette hoy hanging out of the side of her mouth, and she said to me, "Now, Ron Baker, don't you give me any of this religious rot." And I said, "No, Inniker, I won't give you any of this religious rot. But," I said, "you can stay here as long as you live the lifestyle we live." And she'd get up at breakfast time, and we'd sit round the table, and we'd say grace, and we'd pray, and she was wondering who we were talking to. And then the miracle of miracles happened. One night she dropped to her knees in my daughter's bedroom and gave her heart and life to Christ. She's gone on and on and on for the Lord. But her husband, a brilliant doctor, he couldn't see anything in Christianity. And one day I sat in his surgery with him, and I used to minister to him, and he used to minister to me. And it's good when professional people get together and you can bounce one another around a bit. And I said, "All right, John, if you want me to explain what Christianity is all about, you explain to me what the birth of a natural born child is all about." And he said, "I can't." But he said, "I know it happens." And I said, "John, it's like that with Christianity. When you're born of God, you know it happens. You can talk about it. You can be filled with the joy of the Lord. But there's no real explanation. Other people can see that it's happened, just the same as we'll see in a few months' time, a few little children around here, little born babies. It's going to happen. Now, whenever ordinary or even unusual human conceptions and births occur, something incomprehensible happens. That is, a person becomes a person. A human being becomes a human being. Now, because this happens, we may think we understand what happens. But really, we don't understand at all. For a moment or two, think about yourself. There was a time when you did not exist. Then you were conceived and born, and you grew into the special person you are now. But where did you come from? And where did you get your soul? Do you know? Well, my convictions, and that of many others that I have read, is that human persons do not exist before they are conceived and born. You don't believe in reincarnation, do you? You weren't here before, were you? Surely you haven't come back again. I don't want to come back. When it becomes absent from the body, present with the Lord, I'm staying there. I'm staying there. Now listen carefully. When our Lord was a grown man, he said to some religious leaders, "Before Abraham was born, I am." John 8:58. Yes, beloved people, we do know that Jesus Christ certainly existed before his conception and birth. And just before he went to the cross, Christ prayed to his Father in heaven about the way his Father had loved him before the creation of the world. John 17, we read it this morning. The only person who ever became born into this world, who lived before that moment of natural birth, is Jesus Christ. Now John 13:3 also teaches that on the night Christ was betrayed, he knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. Why, the opening words of John's Gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So what is the Bible teaching us about the fact that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit? The Bible is teaching us that Christ's conception and birth formed the bridge between the pre-existent, eternal Son of God and mankind. Beloved people, let us get hold of that for Christmas. Let us get hold of that. Let me say it again. You and I, when we were born, became the bridge between a man and a woman. But the eternal Son of God became the bridge between the divine and the human. Now, a lot of great scholars have missed that over the years, and I'm amazed. I'm not a great scholar, but I like to read, and I like to study the Word of God, and I like to pray about what's in the Bible so that the Holy Spirit can show me clearly what is there. Beloved people, this is what Christmas is all about. You see, nothing like this had ever happened before. Indeed, this event changed everything. God became a man. Now, when we talk about the virgin birth of Christ, we must see that when Jesus Christ was conceived and born, the eternal Son of God became one of us. That is, without sin, because Jesus Christ is both God and man. The second thing I want to say to you tonight about this is this. Christ's conception and birth were accomplished through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, the Apostles' Creed, we do read it sometimes, don't we? Because the Apostles' Creed declares that the only begotten Son of God was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Now, why do believers say this? They say this because the Bible says it so clearly. And Luke tells us about the virgin birth, and Luke was a doctor. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. And let me read to you what Luke says. Luke was a doctor, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, and that word hail in the Greek means good morning, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, I love that, in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now listen carefully. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Son of God. And in Luke 2:21, he says this, and this is when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of this child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named before he was conceived in the womb. He was conceived in the womb. Now, that's very important teaching about the fact that he was conceived in the womb. Now, with these words of Luke, we see that the conception and birth of Christ cannot be compared in any way to modern-day unusual conceptions and birth. Why? Because at Christmas time we remember that once, now listen to this, once and only once the Holy Spirit of the living God directly created life in a woman's womb. Now tell me honestly, did you know that before? Come on, be honest, tell me, did you know that before? Well, we're going to learn some things next year, aren't we? How do you think I find those things out? You find them out when you read your Bible, when you study your Bible, and when you get on your knees. You don't find these things out when you come along to hear some nice public relation pastor. Oh, isn't he a nice guy? Isn't he a lovely man? Oh, he wouldn't hurt a fly unless it got in the way. And the entire congregation goes to hell. Yes, Mary was a virgin woman, and this conception had nothing to do with sex and human sexuality. This was a unique and holy event. Now, let us go one step further and see another difference between the virgin birth of Christ and any other conception and birth. The virgin birth resulted in a unique person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Man. Your conception and my conception didn't result in a unique person, did it? I'm not unique. My daughter might say, thank God there's only one of him. She'll say that to me again at Christmas time, I can assure you. I can hear her now. We'll sit down. Probably she'll come fishing with my granddaughter. The only three women in my life are my wife and my daughter and my granddaughter. And there's about another one to invade my life, my future daughter-in-law. I love her too. And I can hear my daughter say to me when I'll be talking about certain things, and she'll say, thank God there's only one of you, Father. But that doesn't make me unique. I wasn't born unique. Neither were you. But Jesus Christ was. He is a unique person. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christos. Amen? He is the Christos. You see, the point that now has to be made is this. Children who are the products of unusual conceptions are still ordinary members of the human race. But Christ was unique. Because when you come to think about Christmas time, someone was born who never had to say, as the writer of Psalm 51 verse 5 said, surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Never once did Christ have to say that. You see,